This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Aussies and Kiwis alike were horrified by the unprecedented act of violence inflicted on two Christchurch mosques on Friday. Here in Australia, I think, we feel this sense of shame that this was committed by an Australian. But how are people in Christchurch feeling as they come to terms with what's happened? Nick Duke is the senior pastor at Cornerstone Church in Christchurch. He's also an Australian and he's with me now. Hi, Nick.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about the city of Christchurch? Is it a multicultural and multi-faith city?
I guess in some ways less than others. It's fairly English. It's the more English of any other cities in Christchurch.
Okay.
And there's some legacy of that. But it's changed a lot in the last decade. Became much more multicultural in that time.
All right. And how are Christchurch locals, expressing their feelings, their grief over what happened?
Yeah, I think there's been an amazing response, real outpouring of emotion. My wife just came back from the cordon around the mosque down at Dean Avenue, and there's been a real sense of standing with the Muslim community in that time. That's been really lovely to see, but real grief of a loss of innocence. And it's one of the things she commented on was just it's quite striking in New Zealand to see armed police anywhere. Mm. And to see a mosque surrounded by armed police with assault rifles is just something that's quite unusual in our context.
Yeah, that must be confronting. You've just come back from a vigil at the university, haven't you? Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, I've been working at the University of Canterbury for over a decade, and it was probably the largest gathering I've ever seen. Several thousand people gathered. What was nice about it was hosted by the Christian chaplain on campus, and the sense of a majority faith group making real space for a minority faith group and standing with them, which I thought was really came through in it. And people really wanted to make a statement really clearly that we stand with you as a faith community in this, saying very clearly, you're welcome. There was a wall for messages that people could put flowers and messages. And one of the messages that stood out for me was this message says, this is your home. And I think that was the tone that came through, which was really encouraging to see.
Mm, absolutely. I think that's certainly been a sentiment that Jacinta Ardern has been expressing that, as she says, something like them is us or something along those lines. Is there a lot of solidarity for the feelings that she's expressed?
I think so. I have a real sense, there's a real pride in the way Jacinta has handled the whole thing. A real sense of clarity, compassion, even a rightly directed anger at what drove this and what it's produced. So I think she really does speak in a way that New Zealanders are saying, that's us. You can articulate our best self, and people have responded really well. And I think that's even the response, you see a sense of leadership in that, which has been encouraging to see.
Mm. A lot of people have expressed concern about the kids who were in lockdown at school on Friday. Were your own children affected by that, Nick?
Yeah, I've got five kids, four of them at school, youngest 8, oldest 16. And so, yeah, we went through that ourselves as a family. For the teachers, they didn't have information on what was going on at first, and it sort of trickled out. So they're managing their own emotions as they're trying to look after our kids, 20, 30 kids in a classroom. And the way it works is that it's the standard response to any kind of threat. So if a gunman was on the site, this is what they would do. Mm. And probably what made it most traumatic for the kids, whilst it varied from place to place, certainly some of the places were taking it as the same response to that. So they would lock all the windows and doors, take shelter away from the windows, lights are off, total silence, not knowing at that point whether there's an armed gunman on site or whether there's something right the far end of the other side of the city. Mm. And you can imagine how that is for a kid, not getting information and not knowing what to do with information, even if they did have it. And I can imagine that was pretty traumatic for a lot of kids, because as far as I know, all the schools were in lockdown for 3 hours.
Yeah. Did your kids talk about it with you, about what they felt?
Yeah. I think the experience of being in a darkened room and trying to be quiet and one of them talked about how people were crying, having panic attacks. It certainly unsettled them in a way that you're seeing real fear.
Yeah. And would many of those children still have, like, sort of memories from the earthquake? So is this sort of like trauma upon trauma for some of those kids?
It sure is. It depends on the age that they're at. Apparently, kids 11, 12, 13 are the most affected by something like this. And we actually just had the kids who were from the earthquake in 2011 come to university in the last couple of years.
Right.
And so they are the most affected in terms of mental health. So they would have been not at school at that point, but certainly our kids do remember the earthquake and different responses to that. So mental health in the longer term is the thing that we're going to be watching as a city and putting resources there.
The fact that your church is on the campus of the University of Canterbury means that you will be working with these kids, you know, for the next few years. So I guess it's going to be big in your consciousness in how you, I guess, interact with the students on campus.
And that's the thing, because it's the difference, the short term versus the long. Short term, there's help will pour in and there'll be people to support and people to offer care packages and things like that, but the mental health challenges are going to be years ahead.
Yeah.
And particularly for the kids that we're seeing now at schools, what that will be like for them. And particularly, as you say, if they've experienced it before and the sort of sense of it's happening again and when's it going to stop?
Yeah, it just would affect, I guess, how you perceive your world as to whether it's safe or not, or whether you sort of think, oh, gosh, things can really go wrong. Is there anything that you want us in Australia to know about the situation, Nick?
I think knowing it's the long game rather than just the short is one of the things, and appreciate prayers for that, and churches and community groups have a real role to play, so support them in any way that you can, because they're going to be the ones in the long term that are... the Muslim community is going to be struggling for quite a while, and it's going to be people on the ground in the long term that have trust that are going to be helping there. But it's been lovely, actually, to see the sense of solidarity across the Tasman too. And, you know, little things on Facebook have actually been really encouraging for people on the ground to see that Australians actually stand with them and denounce the kind of stuff going on. And that's been encouraging for people in Christchurch, I think, to really see and sense the compassion.
Yeah, okay. That's good to know. Thanks for sharing some time with us today, Nick.
Thanks for having me. It's been lovely to have interest from you.
Yeah, that's Nick Duke. He's originally from Australia. He's now senior pastor of Cornerstone Church in Christchurch in New Zealand. You can find out more about them at cornerstone.org.nz.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.